Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Kane Corns.
You'd have to be a blind Labrador to not realise there was far more than three people involved in this thing. And you know, they all got a caning, and basically David Warner was, you know, completely villainised. Now that's, and he has shut up. He's protected Cricket Australia. He's protected his fellow players and whatever it might be, on my advice. Because at the end of the day, no one wanted to hear any more of it. And he's got on playing cricket. There's one thing in life I hate is injustice. We've all had it, you know. I mean, and this is injustice at its greatest level.
No, I haven't heard the, you know, the comments today, but, you know, I've chatted to David today, and he's great. You know, we really support Davey. He's a huge member of our side. He's been fantastic for me my whole career. You know, this side, he's been an awesome, you know, leader, for, you know, especially the last few years. So, yeah, we just, you know, he has our absolute support, really back him, and yeah, respect his decision.
One of his statements was, for cricket to air its dirty laundry. It's not cricket's dirty laundry. It's David Warner's dirty laundry. The situation was caused by David Warner and his co-conspirators, not cricket.
He's prepared this 800-word document quite well, very well, actually. He spoke a lot of sense. He had the support of Cricket Australia. They'd already gone through the effort of changing a clause in a constitution somewhere that can say, yes, this can be looked at. And the trial was supposed to be about the punishment he received for that.
Yeah.
And they wanted to go through everything all again in public. Come on.
The voices of James Erskine, the manager of David Warner. You heard from Pat Cummins, the Aussie captain. Simon O'Donnell on SEN Breakfast had a different view to Ian Healy. That was a snapshot of the conversations that have been bubbling around on the back of David Warner and his decision to publicly announce that he was withdrawing from the process to have his leadership ban overturned. It's our conversation starters for Melbourne Airport parking. Nothing beats $12 a day parking at Melbourne Airport. Feels like he's got the public support behind him, mostly. JJ, but how have you seen his decision to, you know, speak out so strongly against this?
Yeah, interesting. I guess whenever it came out, it was going to be interesting timing. There was no good time for this type of thing to happen. But I'm pretty sure the majority were not naive enough to think it was purely about three guys, three players involved only. So, and that was one of the other things that James Erskine said. He said that he was quoted, and the players were told to do it. So my question is, by who? That's a pretty important question to be answered. If the players were told to do it, well, we kind of need to know by who. I think a lot of people believe, you know, the bowlers were at least involved in the idea because they're the ones who benefit, right? They're the ones who benefit from what happened to the ball and the ball tampering.
Yeah, and the manager, I mean, the most explosive stuff is from the manager, really. He's saying that there's a couple of officials that have known about it after, I think it was a match in Canberra where the Aussies couldn't get anything to happen, and David Warner says, well, if you want to reverse swing the ball, this is what you have to do. And senior officials from Cricket Australia were present and witness and hearing that those comments. So, I mean, it feels like there was a lot more than three people involved, which is what the manager is not even alluding to, is what he's confirming, really.
Yes. The interesting part to me is they showed a few shots, and Patrick Cummins spoke about it, and he said what you'd expect him to say, to be honest. You know, we love Dave Warner and those types of things, but I thought with what came out, whether Warner's position in the locker room, not in the team, but in the locker room, becomes almost untenable, because you'd imagine there would have been players and teammates learning of what his manager said because of the timing of it all, whilst they were sitting in the dressing rooms, perhaps when Warner was out there batting or when he came back in from batting. You know, you know what it's like. Some athletes are hot on these types of things and would have seen it the moment it came out. Others would have had to have had it provided to them by someone else, and someone close to them. They say, hey, did you see what Dave Warner's manager said? So the interesting part for me is the relationship strain in the locker room between the players. Patrick Cummins himself. So, that's the most intriguing part for me moving forward is how's the locker room dynamic on the back of this?
How do we see David Warner, 1300 736 736? Had a chat to Bharat Sundaresan, who's doing a great job for SEN Cricket on Sports Day last night, and he said, he's saying you Aussies don't appreciate David Warner and what he's done for the game of cricket. He said in India he's massive and they just love him, but the Aussies and us have had a bit of a love-hate relationship with David Warner. We've been hard on him, and we were incredibly hard on him throughout this, and I can understand why. It was devastating when this all happened in Cape Town, but other nations have been guilty of it. I mean, South Africa have been doing stuff to the ball for ages as well, yet they're loved and adored. So, yeah, I guess he's always been a polarising figure, David Warner. Have we appreciated him enough? Bharat Sundaresan says no. 1300 736 736. And Crash Craddock, who does a magnificent job with Jared throughout the year, he says it's only the beginning of what is going to be a fascinating story. David Warner is scheduled to do a tell-all autobiography at the end of his career that will further blow the whole things up. So is it the most anticipated autobiography in sport? I mean, Eddie Betts's was significant this year from an AFL standpoint and finally got to the bottom of what went down on the camp. But David Warner's book would be must read. Johnny's on the line. What did you make of all this, John?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. The administrators in sport, I think this year what we've seen with Adelaide, Hawthorn, and now the Australian cricket team, you can't bury these things anymore. You have to face up to them and be open and transparent, because the story will get out and it looks worse down the track. The other thing that I'd like to point out is if there's other people involved, players, and they've stood back in the quiet and let these three blokes cop it, especially David Warner, I'd think less of those guys than the three guys that copped it at the start.
Yeah, there's a few texts coming through on a similar vein there, Johnny. Bowlers had to have known they were the ball that they were being handed. They had to deliver it. Jet fighters know what they're going to deliver, says Dano. His autobiography will be written in crayon and sponsored by LG OLED TVs. Oh. There's the feedback that David Warner gets.
I think that text strikes the heart of what a lot of people listen and look at David Warner and think he speaks before he thinks. He's not super intelligent and he just flies, you know, and says things off the cuff. I think that's what probably irks people. He's outspoken when we don't, you know, we as in the public don't really want our athletes to be outspoken. We want them just to play and to shut up. And we've seen that campaign in America with the athletes saying, you know, they're more than an athlete. And I think David Warner's been that. And at different stages, we've just wanted our cricketers to go out, dominate, wear the baggy green, be thankful for wearing it, and have little else to say.
James Erskine spinning a myth to rewrite history to the benefit of his client. Please, says James. Injustice, he cheated, premeditated cheating. He's never owned it, or how he threw Bancroft under the bus. If he was Indian or Pakistani, he would have had a life ban. What a joke, says Dan. Brendan's been waiting for us. Brendan, what's your thoughts on it?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I think at the time, many in cricket sort of felt it was possibly we took a sledgehammer to a daisy on the punishments. But I think in this case right now, Dave Warner said is correct. Why would he want to take his family through all this again? But also to sort of provide a counterpoint to what was said earlier, how could his teammates look Dave Warner in the eye if there's three blokes that have taken bullets for things that they've done? Because like, it's sort of kind. I think Dave's managers confirmed what a lot of us thought anyway. It can't just be three blokes in that room that did this. There's no way, no way at all. And you guys have been high level athletes. You know, in your heart of hearts, it wouldn't just be three blokes. There's no way.
You wouldn't have thought so. I'm skeptical of that as well. And you know, if he does write a book, he's going to have to name names, isn't he?
He's going to have to throw teammates.
Yeah,
his lawyers might push back against that a fair bit. But for it to land how it should land, and a book is supposed to be a tell all. So absolutely. Yeah, it's an interesting one because I and again we don't want to rehash was the crime worthy of the punishment and all those types of things. But I'm not a I like cricket, I watch cricket, but I don't understand how ball tampering is that, you know, is that big a deal. And that is not only my view, that's, as you said, the view of perhaps South African cricket and other cricketing nations. And then we just get a text saying if he was English or Indian, he'd be banned for life. So it just goes to show what actually happened murkies the waters as well. It makes everything muddy because there are such different views on what actually happened and whether it's even that big of a crime. And that's what makes it more difficult in my view.
Happy for you to have your say and join in the conversation with us this morning. 1-300-736-736 is the ENS open line. We've got Murali on the line. Murali, good morning.
Morning, Kane. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, that's good. I want to talk about David Warner.
Yeah, do the Australians appreciate David Warner enough, Murali, or have you got a different view?
No, I don't think so. I'm from Hyderabad. I've been here for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I like the Hyderabad Sunrisers. And Warner has been the captain of the team for a few years now. Not last year, but before that. And he's won the premiership as well. But the way he gels the team and then the way he gave youngsters a chance. If you look at it, Rashid Khan, Umran Malik, the young fast bowler for India, they all play for Hyderabad. And he gets along really well with them. And not just that, with the community itself over there in Hyderabad. So Hyderabad's a city with 10 million people. So they really appreciate him really well. And it beggars belief that, you know, when Steve Smith's the captain at that time, when this thing happened, and Darren Lehman. And as you know, Ken, in cricket, you know, the captaincy is really important. And then the buck stops with them. So when Steve Smith's able to captain again, how come David Warner can't do? I mean, are you telling me that Steve Smith and Darren Lehman doesn't know anything about this? And David Warner himself went to Bunnings and got that sandpaper?
Yeah, well, I think Steve Smith was aware of it. He wasn't directly involved, I don't think, in handling the ball. That's my recollection of it. David Warner was essentially the manager of the ball and was accused of showing Bancroft how to manipulate the ball. So that's why his punishment was a bit more severe. But, yeah, Steve Smith still paid a significant price for it, Murali. But that was the view of Bharat Sundaresan last night on the fact that he's adored around the world, David Warner, and we haven't appreciated him enough as Australians.